welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. That is the reading of Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. Now verse 23 informs us that the rich man lifted up his eyes, being in a place called hell, in the King James Version. There are two Greek words that are translated by one English word, hell, in that majestic version of the Bible. One word is Gehenna, the place of eternal punishment. The other is Hades or Hades, the disembodied and the unseen state of the dead. This is not a translational mistake, because the word hell has both meanings, as is noted in most modern dictionaries. But we need to realize that there are two different words involved, and this distinction is noted in the American Standard Version of the Bible. As for Hades, the word itself does not denote whether one is in a state of torment or blessedness. There are two parts of Hades. The rich man was in Hades and in torment. Jesus went to Hades, which is also called paradise, Acts 2:27 and Luke 23:43. The part of Hades that we're considering is the place of torment. Now there be those who say this is only a parabolic account. They do this hoping somehow this will prop up their contention that there's no real punishment for anyone after physical death. Friend, to deny that there is punishment is to deny that Jesus taught the truth, whether a parable or not. It is to deny Matthew 25 and verse 46, which teaches an everlasting punishment, as do many other passages. Proper names are not usually found in parables anyway, whereas this one contains the name of Abraham. As for the truth, it matters not whether it's a parable or not. Before we approach the major theme of this study, let us consider four other important truths taught here. One, it shows that a child of God can be lost. Both the rich man and Lazarus were children of God by virtue of the fact that they were of the chosen nation of Israel. The rich man called Abraham father, and Abraham called him son. The message that the rich man wanted his brothers to hear was the message of Moses, God's law for Israel. Under that law, one was a child of God by virtue of his fleshly descendancy from Abraham. John the Baptist warned against relying on that ancestry as if that was sufficient, however. He taught that the time was to come when ancestry would not make one a child of God, but one's personal obedience to Christ. Obviously, the rich man, a child of God, had fallen, and he was lost. Well, this contradicts the doctrine of once a child of God, always a child of God, and he cannot be lost. Here is one that was definitely lost. We also learn that circumstances in this life may be quite different from those in the life to come. Lazarus knew few friends and had even fewer comforts. The rich man had everything this world could afford. He was considered successful and Lazarus a failure. We learn, however, that real success is not to be measured by what one has in this life. In the life after this one, Lazarus was the blessed one, and the rich man was in torment. Lazarus achieved genuine and lasting success that was eternal. And there is also the teaching of consciousness after death. The rich man lifted up his eyes and could see. He was able to suffer. He was aware of his torment. He could cry and beg. He was able to recall and remember his life on earth and suffer regret. He could recall his brothers. Now, he was not aware of all that was taking place on earth at that moment, but he could remember the time when he was on earth. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 9, 5 and 6, "For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished, neither have they any more portion forever in anything that is done under the sun." Now the key to understanding that passage is the phrase, "under the sun." They have no more to do with this life. They would soon be forgotten, even though they could remember their life. And what was taking place on earth is beyond the knowledge of the dead. And Matthew 7 and verse 22 also shows that there is consciousness after death and the ability to recall events of this life. "Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" That shows that they could recall things that they supposedly had done while on this earth. We also learn that our eternal destiny is decided in this life. Friend, now is the time of opportunity to be saved, and there is no second chance. There is a great gulf fixed, and there is no crossing over from one place to the other. All the preparation for the next life must be made in this one. But now let us turn our attention to things that are revealed to exist in this Hadean world that I suggest ought to exist in the church now. We're not considering things that are sometimes in the church that will wind up in torment, but things that ought to be in the church. There ought to be the recognition of the power and authority of the Word of God. Whereas the rich man thought he could disobey and all still be well with him, in Hades he learned better. God's word was for him and for others to respect. At the time of the life of the rich man, Moses' law was God's authority, verse 29. Today we look to the teaching of Christ, of course, for it is through him that God now speaks to us, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. The gospel is God's power to save, Romans 1 and verse 16. And to disobey the gospel is to be lost, 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 9. Friend, there must be the recognition of God's word. And next, there ought to be fervent prayer and petition. The petition of the rich man was certainly earnest and sincere and heartfelt. All he wanted was just a drop of water for some relief. He then requested earnestly some special assistance for his brothers. Prayer is a God-given privilege, an avenue of communication between man and God that God has ordained. God promises to hear and to answer the prayers of those who are his children. The power of Christianity in the world would be enhanced if there was more fervent prayer by those in the church. But there was also a concern for the lost in Hades. The rich man did not want his brothers to come to where he was. He sought their salvation. He wanted Lazarus to go back and to warn them. And just here, he was thinking of others, not just himself. Is not this the attitude that ought to abide in the heart of every Christian? The rich man, of course, should have thought more of his brothers and himself while he was living on earth. At least he was thinking of them now. The mission of the church is to carry the saving gospel to the world, to be the pillar and the ground of the truth, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. And no church fulfills its reason for existence that only concentrates on itself to the neglect of the lost. The church must be mission-minded. The first word of the Great Commission is go. And Paul wrote, How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Romans chapter 10. In Hades there was a distinct and recognizable distinction between righteousness and wickedness. This distinction ought to exist among those who make up the church, and when it is not so, the church has a responsibility to exercise discipline to keep the church pure. As a rule, the 20th century and 21st century church thus far has been lax in this matter. The result is that sinfulness is tolerated in the church to its disgrace and its discredit before the world. The church is in the world, but the world does not belong in the church. Too often those of the world cannot detect any real and significant difference in the lives of those of the church and those who care nothing for it. They see the same actions, same motives, same words, same ambition, same dress, same conduct, and so often they fail to see the devotion and priority to Christ that a Christian is supposed to manifest if he is a faithful Christian. There was a clear-cut distinction in Hades, wasn't there? And there ought to be just as clear-cut distinction in the church. The church must stress the urgency of seizing its opportunities to be saved in this life while there is time. The rich man, concerned for his brothers, knew that something needed to be done, and right away. He wanted something special in addition to the Word of God. Friend, this is the fault with so many today. They're not satisfied with the provision God has made, and they seek and they want something special, some direct operation of the Spirit, some miracle, some feeling, some experience, something better felt than told. The brothers would not receive anything more than what God provided, however. And neither shall people today have anything more than His Word. Those of us in the church must press the urgency of salvation upon others. They, like ourselves, do not have unlimited time and opportunity to get right with God. Life is uncertain, death is sure, the judgment awaits, and there is no escape from eternity. The rich man knew it too late. Can we learn it now, while there is time? And we would insist that if some of these qualities that are observable in Hades in this teaching of Jesus was in the church, in a notable fashion and demonstration, many more would go to heaven than otherwise will be there. It is your task and mine to make it so. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.